special guest, Evansville Purple Aces head coach Todd Licklider, with me on the Boss Man Show. Coach Licklider, glad to talk to you, man. I've followed you for years, man, so good to finally have you on my show, man.
It's a pleasure to join you, JR. Thank you.
Coach, how's it been trying to lead a program during this COVID-19 crisis? And, you know, he had a hiring freeze at the school. And how this is all the things from this virus is going on? How's it been trying to lead a program during this tough time the last 5 months here?
Well, there's no instruction book for it, that's for sure. And I've coached a long time, but it's a new experience. But I'm so thankful for the opportunity at the University of Evansville and just to be able to lead a program and surrounded with some great people and tremendous tradition. I grew up in the state of Indiana, so and my father was a high school coach. So we were so aware of the history and the tradition of the University of Evansville. So, you know, it's one of those things where, hey, this is where we're at. This is what is happening. And you just do the best you can to lead and keep your priorities correct. And like I say, I'm really thankful to get to coach these guys. I've been really impressed with the players and the community and the administration. So we're just excited for the opportunity, JR.
You most definitely, Coach. And how have you been trying to talk to your young men and keep them focused and eyes on the prize? Because, you know, now we have a COVID crisis. We had a crisis with social issues in our country. So how have your staff tried to lead the young men and try to give them perspective during this tough time we're getting from every direction right now, Coach? We're trying to keep these young men's priorities straight.
Well, you know, we're away from one another. Most of the time you get to see them every day, and you're getting more access now than when I first got into the business. You know, the NCAA decided that summer access is a good thing. And so they're usually on campus. And, you know, one of the things that we missed this year that we enjoy so much is having community camps, having the young people in the community come in and your players interact with them. And it's such a great experience for everybody. Well, we didn't get to do that. So, you know, it's just different with everybody being in different locations. But now with technology the way it is, we've been able to text and we've been able to make phone calls, obviously, and email, and then the Zoom now. Everybody's doing the Zoom meetings, and I'm sure that we've had a few of those. And the players, I probably put them to sleep, honestly, with my my presentation. They're probably saying, but they've been great. They show up, and our message to them was the spring term was different. You know, you're off campus, you're online, and presents different challenges, but try to navigate it and stay proactive and ahead of it. And they did that, and they had a great spring term academically. I was so proud of them. And then we just said, hey, let's practice being great teammates and thinking about, you know, taking care of ourselves and others around us by adhering to the health guidelines. And let's make sure that we do that and we're responsible and accountable to making sure that we're doing our part. And they did that. And then the other thing we talked about a lot, JR, was just the environment we wanted to have when they returned and what we were working towards. I was very fortunate to coach at Butler University and under Barry Collier and under Thad Mata, and then I got the chance myself. And we always, you know, we're a value-based program, and I think that's important. And so, you know, I wanted to share some of those things with them. And that's something that you just live all the time. And but, you know, we wanted to at least lay the foundation. And so we just shared with them some different correspondence that we had, emails and different things. And like I say, shared our values and shared the way that we would be approaching working together. And although we did know each other, I'd been here the year before as an assistant. So, and they welcomed me back. They're just, you know, fine young men. And so, you know, it's very, you know, gratifying. So they did know me, but it is a new voice, a new leadership. And so hopefully we got those things covered well, and our guys have stayed the course. And now we're just planning on being back together when everybody's back on campus. and we'll formulate a plan and figure out how we're going to work through some of these things with the virus. So, but I'm confident our guys will be, do the best they can. That's for sure.
And Coach, I know it has been a tough time to give the guys workout plans because some guys don't have hoops to shoot the shoot on, and so they can't do some conditioning work, whether it be, you know, in place or where they're at. So how's it been with strength conditioning, Coach, trying to get to keep the guys in shape so when they get back to you, you don't have to start over from scratch. You get these guys in shape, and they'll put them at risk to get injured because they're not in shape.
That's a good point about the injury and when you get back. But my feeling is that I think you can, and not in this particular situation, but just in general, you're almost more prone to overtrain. So I don't worry about it. I remember, believe it or not, I can still remember when I was young, I didn't think it took me very long to get back in shape if I was off. And actually, some of this rest probably did some of these guys good. You know, they've been playing a lot now. Back when I was playing, again, we played on asphalt a lot. We played outdoors. I'm sure that was a lot harder on you. And so the younger guys now don't have to experience that. But I do think that there'll be an acclimation period. We'll go very slow once we get back is our plan. We'll, you know, it could be we're working through with strength and conditioning ideas right now. But we're going to go very slow. Just, hey, you know, they'll get back We'll get there. I haven't given them anything to do as far as physical workouts because I just don't know what they have access to. I sure wouldn't want to put them in a bad situation where they felt like I was pushing them into something that, you know, was less than healthy. I wouldn't ever want to do that. So I'm not worried about them at all. Like I say, they're young, and we'll figure that out when they get back, and we'll take our time. And I just think that we'll have enough time. And it just depends, too, on what people decide the season's going to look like, when it's going to start. And right now, we don't have any indication that it won't be just the typical season. But you're hearing, obviously, we're all hearing people throwing out ideas. And so you have to be prepared for that. Maybe they'll start later than what's usually happens. So if that's the case, that'll just give us more time to get acclimated and get our bodies ready for competition.
And Coach, these gentlemen are blessed to have you as a coach because you know how to build a program. You've been at story programs. You've led programs as a head coach and an assistant. You're lucky to have you, somebody who understands, been in this business for a long time and can really protect them and help them, not put them in positions that would hurt them, whether it be on the court and off the court as well.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it. I just hired two assistants. We had three staff members hold over from the last staff, and very pleased with them. And then I got the opportunity to hire, and I hired two former players that were from Butler University that I know well, and that's been very good to me. I've been very fortunate to be able to hire, former players that are qualified. They want to be coaches, and I know them well. Well, these two, Thomas Jackson and Brandon Crone, Thomas played for me my first year as a head coach. He was a senior, tremendous leader, and we talked yesterday a little bit. They were introduced to our community, and we announced that they were coming. They were joining us, and Thomas and I, they kind of asked us about our relationship, and it really came down to we trusted one another, you know. And I think it's really important that the guys see that you mean what you're saying, that you do care about them, and that you want what's best for them. And at the same time, you can be demanding enough that they'll show improvement and they'll grow in the game because you have certain standards and you help them uphold them, but you want players to know you care about them. So we try to do that in everything. We send a message in whatever we do, and I think, you know, it's very gratifying that these are the two guys that I wanted to hire, and they both accepted it and came on with me. So I guess they didn't have too bad of experience with me when I was coaching, so I'm thankful. But they're going to be great additions.
And Coach, let's talk about your time at Butler, and I'm going to lead you to a point about Brad Stevens. I know you worked at Celtics for 3 years
yeah.
there, and so let's talk about Butler and your time there, and like you said, you brought in two guys from Butler who played for you and the Butler family, about how you all close and stick together as one. It's like that one Butler family right there, and they're doing it again here in Evansville now.
You know, we're going to try to – we've got a good blueprint, we think. Evansville and Butler have a lot of similarities, so we think we can – it won't be exact, but we'll try to implement some of the things that we think were good to us at Butler. And most of it was just I was so fortunate to be surrounded by such good people. You know, you mentioned Brad Stevens. Well, he hadn't coached before when I hired him. And he came on – staff when Thad Mata was the head coach and I was an assistant. Brad was the director of basketball operations, so a non-coaching role. But then the next year, they elevated me, and then I elevated Brad, and he just stayed with me the whole 6 years. And people ask me, well, when did you know, how'd you know he was going to be such a great coach? And, you know, I wouldn't be honest if I told you I knew he was going to be the head coach of the Boston Celtics. I mean, it's a pretty great feat, you know. But I did know he'd be good at whatever he did just because of his approach. And no matter what job you gave him, he went at it and completed it to the best of his ability and with the whole program in mind. But then I also had the opportunity to one move that I made that I'm fortunate was we hired Jeff Meyer, who is an assistant back at Butler now. And he had coached, been a Division I head coach at Liberty, and he brought a great perspective. And it was my first year. He came in my first year as head coach, so I had that experience with him, and he was a real team guy. Then we had Brad Stevens. Then Laval Jordan, who's the head coach at Butler now, I was able to hire him. And I was an assistant coach Laval's, I think his junior and senior year. So yes. And then he went with me to Iowa, Joel Cornett, who sadly has passed, was also a former player of mine. And he went with me to Iowa. So I think, you know, I was just very fortunate to have great people around me. And a lot of them were just getting into the business. So they got started with me. And like I say, Brad hadn't coached before. And we have Matthew Graves, who was, had spent 5 years as a head coach at South Alabama and is now at Xavier. He was with us. And so I think it's really good to coach or to recruit staff members that you know well, and you're kind of on the same page, but they're not guys that, you know, don't have their own opinion. They'll tell you what we need to do. We had good staff meetings where everybody voiced what they thought was the right thing to do. I'd tell them, don't be offended if I don't use it. Please keep coming and telling me things. And if we do, I'll give you the credit for it, obviously. And we'll just see, you know, we'll work together and hopefully it'll all work out. Well, you know, Laval, I actually, Jay, I told somebody one time, all my assistants have been at least to the final game of the NCAA tournament, except for me. And they said, well, obviously you're the problem then. You know?
Oh, no.
Okay, I guess so. You know, it's amazing. Laval and Jeff were at Michigan when they went, I think, played Louisville. And then Brad and Matthew and those guys were all at Butler. I think Terry Johnson, too, who's the assistant at Ohio State, really excellent coach, great person. He came on with me towards the end of my tenure at Butler. So I think we just, I don't worry about anything as far as what, you know, credentials or whatever. I'm just looking for guys who we're on the same page and we believe in the same approach, and we'll work as a team. That's what's fun in this game, just being a good team.
And Coach, how's your time with the scouts? I know I've seen Randy Ayers out there, Paul Hewitt, I see other coaches in the G League or being scouts. So how has your experience been on scout for the Celtics? And also, if you answer, how has it been around my man Al Horford from the Atlanta Hawks? You know, that's one of my buddies there.
Yeah, you know what? I will say this, JR, like being a scout is a really a great job, to be honest, because things are set up. You go to college, all different venues. You watch different games. You go to practices. And you know, it's a good job. There's no question about it. I love being with the Celtics. And obviously, because Brad and I are close, I probably, you know, had a little bit more access to the team and all. When I would go out, I would just go. I was a regional scout, so I was based in Indianapolis. And we'd go to, you know, I had about six conferences that I went to. But it was all regional. But because I had the Big Ten, that was, you know, I got to see a lot of really good basketball. Went to Louisville games. That was, you know, 2-hour drive for me. But anyway, it's a great experience. But occasionally I would go out to Boston and I'd get to watch workouts, or I'd watch the practices, sit in the coaches' meetings because of my – but when you ask me what it's like being a scout, I can say it is a good job. But for a guy who's always been around teams and always been a part of a team, there's a little bit of a disconnect because you're not around them all the time, and you watch and you see things, but it's just a little bit different. And a scout told me one time, it's kind of a lonely job. I guess that could be true, because you are on your own an awful lot, but it would not be fair to complain about it at all. It's a very good job. And I didn't get to see, I really didn't know Al. Now, interesting question with Al Horford. He was the leader of that, or on the Florida team that my last team at Butler played in the Sweet 16 in St. Louis. And then they went on and won the national championship. So we had a little bit of a connection there. I was still mad at those Florida guys. You know, they knocked us out a couple of times. Yeah, but I really admired Al. I thought, you know, he really brought a great approach and work ethic and all to the Celtics from what I could see. And like I say, I wasn't around much, but I think that everybody really appreciated him.
I tell you what, Coach, it's been great to talk to you, man, because I could talk to you for hours, man, about basketball. It's been great, man. I got one for you, Coach. Yeah. The Valley, as a league, I like the league a lot. I've had a lot of coaches on the phone from the league. Dana Ford actually coached at my alma mater, Tennessee State. He coached definitely with the Missouri State and had on Indiana State's coach. So I've covered the league. So the league is very tough. A lot of great coaches in that league. Talk to us about the league as a whole and what you see going forward as you all team to grow to one of the more powerful big majors in America.
I agree with you, Jay. When I was at Butler, we were in the Horizon League. And I give you this example. When we played Southern Illinois in what used to be, they had a bracket buster event. And so they'd pair you up according to where you were in the conference and where. And so we were, I think, with the Missouri Valley at that point. Well, they brought Southern Illinois in to Hinkle Fieldhouse, and it was packed. And you got two mid-major teams that are ranked in the top 20 in the nation. I don't even know how that could happen. And it was a great game, and we lost in Hinkle. And I'm still mad at Chris Lowry, of course. He brought his team in there. They were good. But I've always had such a great respect for the Valley. And you know, there's just been tremendous players that came through the Valley also, you know, with Bird and Walt Frazier. And, you know, I'll leave. You could talk all day about it, so I'm going to end up not talking or not mentioning someone. But when I think about the teams that have played in this, and then you look at, you know, Creighton's not in it anymore, and Wichita State, but, you know, two really high-level teams that were in during the time of the Valley. I think Wichita State went to the Final Four. Loyola goes to the Final Four. It's just a lot of fun. We've got tremendous fans here too, and an incredible facility. The Ford Center right downtown Evansville. So we'll get really good crowds, and the Valley teams have great following. So I agree with you, JR. It's it's really a fun league, and I'm really thankful to be able to lead a program that's associated with the Valley.
Yeah, I've been to the Ford Center for the OVC tournament up there. It's real nice. I like Evansville.
Thank you.
And when I was up there, man, it was real nice. The OVC did a good job with that. Seeing you guys play there, I'm like, wow, you all have definitely a great home court to play in right downtown. And you're like, you know, like I said, I have roots in Nashville, so only 2 hours away from Nashville, and 6 hours from Atlanta, so it's not that far away for me to drive to get there, which is good. Especially in today's times.
Yeah. Well, we love it. We love the Fortune. I always liked Hinkle Fieldhouse. Have you been there before? Have you been
I
there?
I have not. I've passed by, but never been inside before.
Okay. Well, it's just so unique, you know. You kind of just feel the tradition in there. But the Ford Center's got all the amenities. It's just really nice. So, yeah, I'm a fortunate guy.
Now, Coach, do you all recruit down in Atlanta? Any of the fine? Kind of a lot of talent down here in Atlanta. A lot of coaches come to Atlanta all the time trying to find talent. A lot of great schools around the area. Do you all recruit down there very much in Atlanta?
You know what? I'm just starting to get a feel for what our region would be. And I try to always recruit in a 2 to 3 hour range. It just makes sense to me. Atlanta's close enough. And I wouldn't, you know, if somebody were to, you know, contact us about a player or whatever, obviously we're open and all, but I'm just in all honesty starting to get the feel for what is our location, what are we, you know, what's the best way to branch out. And we're fortunate, you know, we're close to Atlanta's not far, but you know, Nashville's close, Louisville, St. Louis, so we're in a good location. There's no question.
Most definitely. Yes, Coach Leiter, I'll tell you, I really enjoyed this. Look forward to talking to you for a while. I followed you for a long time, and good to get to talk
to you.
And I hope to come up there and see you guys once everything gets normal again. I hope to come up there and see you guys play, man.
Well, you're always welcome. So just let us know when you're available, and we'll look forward to seeing you.
And Coach, enjoy the new grandkid, Coach. And
Thank you.
That's been a very great thing for you. Blessed during this time. So enjoy that. Enjoy your family. And Coach, please stay safe, Coach.
All right. Thank you, JR. Take care.
Will do. Thank you.
Sally Beauty's new all-in-one hair color kits make it easy to color your hair at home. Get everything you need to color for beautifully radiant results. Loved by professionals, open to everyone. Sally Beauty.
All right, folks, back in the jail, the Boss Man Show here with Coach of Kansas State, Isles up the road from us, Coach Amir Abdul-Rahim. Coach, good to see you again, man. How are things going with you in the program?
Boss Man, good to see you too, man. Things are good, man. We just, taking it one day at a time, man, trying to stay safe, trying to stay healthy, and, you know, get back to some sense of normalcy, man, you know, with you know, school about to start here, and, you know, we got our guys on campus, man, so it's been good, man. I can't complain whatsoever.
I hear that, Coach. Now, you know, everything went down on my birthday, March 11th, man, with the Hawks and Knicks game, and I got the word, man, season over. Yeah. So my birthday was the tipping point for, like, this is all going to win since my birthday, man. So how has it been for your guys having to go home in the spring and keep those grades up? And also, some of them going back home, man, no hoops, can't work out. So how's it been to keep the guys in shape before they get back to you? Because I know some of them been stuck in their house, can do it. You do everything you want to do, basketball wise.
Yeah, man. You know, like you hit it on the head, man. Me and my wife actually March 9th. I think it was March 9th. We went to go see Charlotte play the Hawks. A former player of mine that's at when I was at College of Charleston, Joe Cheeley is playing with the Hornets. And so, man, we go, you know, to that game. A couple of days later, bam, everything hits. Now, your birthday is the 11th. Mine is the 18th. So, you know, like when I think about kind of how everything jumped off, everything hit, you know, like it goes back to like, man, you know, we were, you know, really just getting ready to start our spring workouts, right? And then, you know, my wife, you know, we normally try to, you know, do something nice for each other's birthday, you know, go out to a nice restaurant here or there. And it was, you know, man, it was a quarantine birthday is what we kind of dubbed it, you know. So, yeah, man, but I tell you this, we left, you know, we kind of left and, you know, Kennesaw State did a really, really good job of kind of transitioning from, you know, the in-class instruction to the online instruction. Like in a sense, like, man, kind of flawlessly. President Witten, who's been here, you know, a few years now, her and her staff, they did an unbelievable job just kind of getting everything in place and kind of foreseeing where it was going in a sense and getting everything in place to the point where I think all the other schools, you know, when they left and they went home, I think it was like a 2-week period or something like that where they were off and then started back up. Man, I think we left on a Thursday, we were online ready to rock and roll that following Wednesday, right? So our guys never really got out of sync. They never really got out of the mold of going to class. And, you know, Lana Bowman, who's our academic liaison here, she did a great job just kind of keeping our guys on a schedule, right? Because that was the hardest thing is
definitely
once they got home, like
the dudes play sales all day
if they wanted to. You know, so she kind of did a great job keeping them on schedule. And then the last part of it was while they were away, Jim Carizzi, who's the head of strength and conditioning here, he did a great job of, excuse me, one second.
No problem. Take your time, brother. It's no problem.
Man, he did a great job they invested in this app called Team Builder. And basically what he could do was, for guys who had like weights or whatever kind of equipment in their house, man, like he could put a workout together for them. If they just had body weight, he could put a workout together for that. And I mean, it turned out, man, awesome, you know, cause our guys, they were still able to train a little bit. So, you know, really all the way through June, you know, up until when they got back here after July 4th, you know, they weren't in basketball shape. They weren't in great shape, but at least they had some sense of conditioning because they had been doing that. And he did a great job of it. So that's why I'd say, man, I've been screaming this for a year now. Is people don't realize how great this situation up here is and how much better it can be. But a big part of that is the people.
Yeah, it's a diamond in the rough up there, man. You in a perfect spot up there in Kennesaw State. Very slept on, but a lot of resources out up there in Kennesaw State, man. And it's a gym, and you're building it the right way because once you get everything going the way you need to get going, you're going to be trouble in that A-Sun. Most
definitely. No doubt, no, we're excited about it, man. You know, we just finished but we're in our second week of workouts with our guys. And, you know, man, again, anytime you're taking over something, you expect to have some sort of adversity, you know, and we had a lot of it. Like, I'll be the first one to tell you, we had a lot of it, but I wouldn't change it for anything, you know, whatsoever. Like, what we went through, we needed to go through, you know, because as we make this turn, which I think we're going to, you know, really, really, you know, make a difference, you know, this upcoming season, you know, people to see why, you know, we didn't budge on certain things. I thought it was times last year, you know, man, we could have, you know, not looked at this or, you know, not held somebody accountable on that and maybe won 2 more games. But, man, like, I mean, it ain't no difference between 1 game and 9 games. We all at home in March, so it don't matter. But this group we got here now, man, I'm excited about them. You know, these dudes, they love the gym. They're building real relationships with each other, and that's the start. Loving the gym and real relationships, and you know whatever happens after that, man. You know that's on us, and we'll do our job.
And that's the mark of a good coach, man, because you know you can easily let a guy get away with something just to get a frivolous win here. That it may look good for the moment, but if you're setting the wrong habits and starting bad examples, man, guys think, oh, he did. I don't want to close out here. I ain't got to set the screen right here. I can loaf on defense here. So setting those good habits now is not going to make you better here in year 2, 3, and 4 down the road, as long as you're at Kennesaw State.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, for me, like when I think about it, I say me, I should say us as our staff, we want to win, but we want to win big, right? You know, like we want to do something that's never been done here that, you know, man, in a sense, only 68 teams get to do each year, right? And that's go to the tournament. And again, having been a part of those programs and in the past, like I know what it takes, you know, and I know what we didn't, you know, I knew when we were really good, you know, like what we, you know, what our non-negotiables were. And then I know when we were actually pretty good, what we kind of, you know, gave into, and it was a reason why we didn't achieve what we needed to achieve. So we're trying to build this thing to, again, to be something that this community can be proud of. And again, you said it, there's a lot of resources up here, man. It's a lot of, you know, really mom and pop, you know, entrepreneurs that built their businesses, you know, from the ground up, you know? And so I want to take that same approach with this, with our program, because the reason why those businesses are flourishing now, they're not even mom and pop businesses anymore. They're flourishing businesses now, you know, because they built it the right way. They took their time, you know, they weathered the adversity and they kept pushing through. So, but more importantly, they had the right people, you know, behind them and pushing it, you know, to make sure they could, you know, continue to build it to where it is now, where it's flourishing.
Most definitely, Coach. And I love the conference you have. And I got a lot of guys on your conference on my show. Matt Driscoll, Coach Pujol, down, Coach Acuff now, Lipscomb, man. All those guys talk about how you did a great job last year because they knew what you was facing and said, the record don't show the job you really did. And I say you guys are right, because it's tough coming to new programs, start from scratch, having to really build some. But just to know that your peers in the conference saw the hard work you was putting in, even though there wasn't wins for you, but they saw it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you this, like I had a conversation with somebody earlier in the spring, man, and I was, you know, when you look at our conference, and I mean, you start with, you know, Coach Driscoll down in North Florida, Coach McKay up at Liberty, Coach Pujol up at North Alabama, Coach Acuff at Lipscomb, and we can go on and on and on, man, like we got some really good coaches, right, in our league, you know, and so, and not only good coaches, we got really good leaders, they're leaders, right, and they're kids, man, they play, they really share the identity of their head coach, right? So it wasn't no cakewalk, that's for sure. You know, it was like I knew that, you know, we all knew that, but again, you know, our kids that we had last year, they tried. Like it is no question about that, right? Like, I mean, you could have walked in here, boss man, in middle of February, into February, and we were one and whatever. And if you would have watched our practice, you would have been like, man, and these dudes get after it, you know? And so to their credit, man, they kept coming in and doing what we asked them to do. But the one thing I don't think people realize is how hard it is to win, like what you have to do every day in order to win, right? It's an everyday thing. And that's why
says every day.
Every day. And that's why you look at like teams like Liberty, you look at teams like North Florida, and they've been at the top of this league for, you know, 4, 5, 6 years. It's because of that. Like they've had that culture established. They've had those standards set, and they know what it is every day. Our guys, we were setting that standard, and they're like looking at the standard like, man, I ain't never been asked to do that before, but I'm gonna try, right? And that's all we were asking last year. So now it's time to take that next step. You know, like the foundation is set, right? Now it's time to start adding those bricks. And again, that's day by day is how we work.
Now, for us non-conference scheduling, Coach, I know it's probably been tough this year with the pandemic and teams trying to run the okey-doke, splitting it. If it's no fans, this number. If it's fans, this number, like raising money. I know it's been hard for you, but how's that been going, trying to schedule these games, man, knowing uncertainty of the pandemic right now?
Man, no. I'll tell you this again. You're going to hear me say this probably over and over throughout this interview. I'm really a product of the people that I have around me. And so my staff, man, these dudes, they did a great job really early on, but like way before, I'm talking about last year, last fall, you know, getting the schedule put together, you know, where, you know, we basically had our, you know, what they term guarantee games. We had our guarantee games done like before New Year, right? And so we didn't have to worry about that. And then obviously we inherited the series with Mercer. We inherited the series with Belmont. And we inherited the series with FIU, right? So you talking about that 6 games right there, and then we go to Wofford in a return from last year. That's 7. So our deal was kind of set. We're really like we didn't really have to you know, like scurry and find games or anything like that. What was really good was when we did get one of those, well, look, man, if it ain't no fans, we only gonna do this. Like, I don't look, there's certain things, man, that are above my pay grade, right?
No doubt. Hey, look, same. Man,
hey, we gonna get this to legal, y'all deal with that, man. Like, everybody got a legal team on their campus. That's a contract. We ain't got to worry about that. I'm not about to, you know, because I know their coach wasn't gonna sit on the phone with me and say, all right, man, like, nah, like, well, I'm gonna let the people who are paid to do those things.
Definitely.
No doubt.
Well, Coach, you're part of a great organization, man. CoachesForChange.org. I talked to Cliff Warren just a few minutes ago before I got on the phone with you here. I talked to Carmen Massarello a week ago about it, man. Talk about this organization you're part of, the Carmen put together, and what you guys are trying to accomplish, man.
Man, I tell you this. Carmen did an unbelievable job. I think it kind of started, man. We were on a town hall meeting this, you know, two and a half months ago. You know, right after George Floyd, the incident with George Floyd where he was murdered, right? Maybe about a day later, you know, I got an email or a text from Carm like, hey, man, I'm thinking about doing this. Would love for you to be a part. I say, man, say no more. Let me know what you want to do. And so it really started out, Boss Man, is like, man, let's get on here. Let's talk about what we're doing with our respective teams to, you know, kind of help them through this time. And it kind of morphed into this Coaches for Change. And so now, you know, it went from, man, it started out with like 42. It's like up to 110 coaches now or something like that. And, you know, the it's built on our four E's, basically. It's engage, educate, empower, and evolve. And when we talk about those four E's, and we're starting at in a place where we can control. We're not trying to go take over the world, right, like right away. You know, we're starting right at home with our own teams, right? And so the first thing that we all wanted to do was we wanted to get all of our players registered to vote. The thing that's crazy about it is maybe a week before that, I actually had Trey Murrow, who's my director of player development, start working with our guys to get them registered to vote. Not only that, but we wanted to get them educated on the candidates as well, not just going in there to click Republican or Democrat, right? To actually understand who's running on what and how they're going about it. So now what we've done is we've kind of incorporated the Coaches for Change piece into it. And so each one of my kids, I'm almost sure of it, they follow us on social media. I'm almost sure they've visited the website. And when you go to the website, man, like, again, a lot of times of engaging is where people don't engage is because they either don't have an awareness or they don't want to have an awareness, right? Right. So either don't have an awareness or they don't want to have an awareness, right? And so we're in this time now where we're trying to get everybody, again, engaged, but aware, right? I just share this with you real quick. On our team, we have 15 guys, okay? 14 of them are Black. We have one white kid on our team. And so when all of this first hit, we jumped on a Zoom call, and the first thing I wanted them to understand was that this was not a Black versus white issue, okay? That, like, it's not that. This is a oppression issue, right? And oppression comes in many forms. Oppression comes in many shapes. Oppression comes in many colors. Let's just keep it 100, right? So we wanted them to understand that. And so what I talked about on that Zoom call was our 14 Black kids understanding the responsibility they have is covered, is protected, is looked after, right? Is not looked down upon or treated differently. Because for the first time in his life, he's a minority, right?
Most definitely.
Okay. And then what I said to the one white kid was like, understand the responsibility you have now in understanding what these guys are going through, just like they're going to understand what you're going through. They're going to educate you, you educate them. And that's where, again, when now we've engaged, we engaged that group for them to be aware of each other. Now it's time to educate them, right, on why it's important to vote, why their vote counts. Like, most of them. Like most kids, I can remember when I was 18, 19 years old, I'm like, man, my vote ain't gonna count for nothing. Like that was the ignorance behind it because I hadn't been educated on it, right? So now we're educating them on why it's important to vote, right? Why it's important that your voice is heard. That's why we had Trey get the information on each candidate, right? To help them understand what those candidates are running on and how it affects them, right? That way, now when you go in there, you're not just voting for the person that, like, you know, that's against the president, right? And I don't use his name very much, but you don't.
Same here.
Right? You know, and that's just me, right? But you're not voting just to say, man, I'm voting for whoever's against. Like, no, like, understand what you're voting on and what these candidates are running on and why it's important, you know? And then again, the other part of the education is helping them understand their history, boss man, right? Like not the history we learned in school, like Definitely. The real history of,
yes.
Right? So now you can understand why your vote counts. Like, do you not realize that, you know, Black people in America were looked at as 3/5 of a human,
yes. Right?
Do not understand that until, I want to say it was, you know, I mean, we just lost
John Lewis,
the great John Lewis, and understood what he and a lot of his counterparts were fighting for, was to have that vote, the right to vote, right? Do you, and that's not very long ago. What was that? That's what's this?
1968.
Yeah, we talking about
52 years ago.
50 years ago, right? So, like, helping them understand that. So now they understand, like, well, dang, like, I do have power in my voice. Now, the thing that I love about this generation, boss man, is, like, man, they about that action, right? Definitely. They about that action, man. Like, they want, like they know their voice means something. And that's really, in a sense, it's like the power of social media. Like, you get people bagging and banging on social media all the time. But because of it, these kids understand that they do have a voice, right? And so now they're starting to use it, but it's our job, right, as in a sense now the elder statesman, to help them understand how to use that voice.
Most definitely. Because, you know, even with me, you know, I'm 33 years old. They're looking at me like, you know, you're using your show for politics. You're right, I am, because it's a moment in time that I have to have a platform. 1.1 being listening in Atlanta from Chattanooga to Macon. I have a voice. I have to use my voice for good. I'm about right versus wrong. This is about for the people. And, you know, think about this, Coach. I'm 33. My parents are 79, 69 years old. They didn't have full rights. I was born with full rights on paper, right? No, of course, on paper. In reality, not really. Right. But on paper,
right,
yes.
Right.
So,
right,
like, okay. Understanding that my mother and father lived with, so they couldn't go parts of town because it was a white part of town. But I can go anywhere I want to, theoretically. But still, we know in reality not so much. So knowing what I know from my own parents' history, I have to preach the word and preach the power for the people so they can hear it and understand what we've been talking about for all these years.
No doubt. Because again, you know, and that's why I say it's like this, the Coaches for Change thing has been so good because, again, Carm was a genius, you know, with those four E's, right? Because it is, again, we talked about the engagement. We talked about the educating them on why it's important to vote. Then empowering them, right, with the different tools to use, right? So now when they speak and they talk about these things, they, in a sense, like I've been kind of telling our guys, it's like, you got to understand it's important not to change the narrative, right?
Yes.
It's like I had, when everything first kicked off, you know, and this is what happens a lot of times, and this is what happens why it's taken so long to even get the momentum that we have right now. But it's like, okay, the George Floyd incident happens, right? And it's focused on police brutality, systemic racism, right? And that's what it should be on. Like, let's not change it. Well, then all of a sudden, like, I hear a few coaches within the, you know, college ranks, like, well, man, they need to start talking about, you know, the lack of Black coaches in NCAA, and that, you know, that systemic racism exists as well. All right, no question, but that's not what we're on right now.
Most
right? We got to keep the main thing, right? I had a conversation with a head coach, a guy who I have a lot of respect for, and my stance on you know, like they painted Black Lives Matter. I think it was like on like 20 in like 20 something cities, right? They taking statues down, right? But it's only one, it's been only one state that has changed qualified immunity for or for police officers, and that's Colorado, right? So it's like, yeah, we paint Black Lives Matters on these streets, and we take these statues, these statues of these Confederate generals down, right? But the main thing hadn't changed a whole lot, except in one place, right? Except in one place. So we've got to be able to empower our youth to use their voice to keep everything channeled in one direction, so that whether it's the media or whoever, doesn't change the narrative, right? Like I explained to our team, like, this is why it's important you use your voice for good. And when you're out peacefully protesting, you make sure that you remain peaceful, because look what's on CNN. It was George Floyd dies, and that was the story for 4 days, right? 4 or 5 days. And then all of a sudden, what happened? The rioters, right, started. And now that's the only thing they're talking about on CNN, right? So we're trying to empower these guys to understand that their voice and what they say is important in order to keep the main thing, right? Then you evolve it, right? You evolve it to where, all right, we know what the fight is, right? This is how we take it to another level. And we take it to another level, and this is the thing that I love about Coaches for Change, is that when you look on it, look on the web, on the page, and who's a part of it, man, it's an unbelievably diverse group.
Yes, it is.
Men, women, Black, white, Native American, you know, you just go on down the line, and it's not just a group of white coaches or a group of Black coaches, because the truth of it is that I need my counterparts that are, or my peers that are white, to understand. I don't need them to understand what it's like to live like a Black man. Like, they not gonna never understand it. Just like I'm not gonna understand what it's like to live like them. But I wanna understand and be aware of whatever they're going through. Just like they need to be aware of what we're going through. One, because that's the human thing, the humane thing to do.
Yes, indeed. Right?
But two, in our profession, right, in our profession in college basketball, the majority of the kids that are playing college basketball are Black kids or kids of color. And so they need to understand what these young men are walking into every day so they can help protect them. We walk into everybody, into these mothers and these fathers, into these homes, and we say, hey, yeah, I'm going to make sure your kid gets an education and do what's right by them. No, what's right by them is making sure that they're protected. Right, that they know they can use their voice, and that it's not going to be, or if it is backlash, you know, that the school and the staff are going to make sure that they're protected and that they have their back, and that they continue to help them push that their voice and their power forward, if that makes sense.
Well, speaking of backlash, Coach, I'll be real with you. So we are here being real. I lost 4 sponsors since George Floyd died because I'm losing my voice. You know, people's emails saying, JR, you've made it. You cover the Hawks. You cover this, and you've made it. No, I haven't made it because once I take out my credential, I'm a Black man in America, right? Same with you. You're a coach of Kennesaw State. What you have on your shirt, right? We take off and leave the campus. You're a mere Black man. So I haven't made it. I have a great job, but I haven't made it. And I'm going to speak truth to power. I don't care if you take away my sponsors. I'll get more of them. I have a guaranteed contract in 2022. I'm not worried about money or losing a job. This is about right and wrong. Screw the back, because the backlash only shows me who they really are. You know what I'm saying? We lose sponsors, not get threats because we took speaking the truth to power. Man, I ain't worried about that. I'm worried about helping my people and being on the right side of history.
No doubt. Somebody said something to me, man. This was early on. And I've been I've been very outspoken about, you know, the things that need to change, you know, on social media. And, you know, I get, you know, coaches that call and say, man, thank you, man. Like, you know, because in a sense, they don't feel like some of them are assistant coaches, some of them are head coaches, right? But they don't feel like they can say anything because in their minds, they're worried about, well, if I say something, you know, the next job, like I'm not going to get the next job, or I'm going to be looked at as militant. Man, you know, my brother said something to me, man, last year that really motivated me to even take this job, right? Is he said, look here, man, like what God has for you, he has for you.
Yes, right? Indeed.
And it can be a million people trying to take that away from you. But if God wants it for you, it's yours, right? And he said it might be something you want, like really, really bad, but he doesn't want that for you, right? He's not gonna put you in that place. I really, really wholeheartedly believe that. Like, that's my faith, right? And so when I look at it as, like you said, with or without this shirt on, I am a black man in America, right? And I'm not going to, like, that's the one thing I'm not going to ever lose sight of that. Now, does that mean I'm going to be running out here, like, you know, speaking on stuff that I'm not educated on? No. Like, I'm going to educate myself on whatever it is I'm going to talk about, right? Because I want to make sure that what I'm talking about reaches the people that it's supposed to reach, and that I don't hurt whatever the cause is by speaking, you know, things that I'm not sure about or I don't understand. I'm not doing that. That hurts it more than anything, right? So, man, I just look at it like it's a time. Like, I got 14, really 15. I got 15 kids looking at me every day, right? Like, coach, man, like, what you think about this, or what's your stance on this? Or they're just looking to see how I'm going to carry myself, right? Look, like I said to them, man, if any of y'all, like our local kids, man, if any of y'all are going downtown to peacefully protest, let me know. I'm coming with you, okay? One, because I want to be there with you. But two, right, like I'm making sure my guys are good, right, and that they don't get caught up in anything else. You know, if you need to talk about anything, man, call me. We have people here on our campus. Our diversity and inclusion office has done a great job as well, just being there to listen to not only our student athletes, but our just regular students. I mean, it was unbelievable. Like, they had a Zoom link set up, man, and I got on, listened, and I mean, it was just great for people to be able to talk, because they didn't know what to understand, you know, or what to think. Not just black kids, like white kids are like, how can I have this conversation with my friends or with my teammates? Like, that's the beautiful part of it. I mean, yes, I'm just telling you.
Yes, indeed, Coach. It's been a heck of a change in our country, and I hope this third reconstruction is really what we need, because, like, you know, we're already in the hub of Atlanta here, civil rights hub, yep. Man. We have opportunity to make a change with a lot of people. A very diverse city, getting that more diverse by the moment. Georgia's getting more diverse by the day. So I feel like with your platform, our platform, Cliff Warren's platform, we have opportunities to help this community grow and move forward for years to come. Like John Lewis will say, make good trouble.
Yep. No, make good trouble. No doubt, man. And again, my biggest thing is this, you know, kind of going back to when all this started, and, you know, somebody, a coach said, like, man, you know, man, I think, you know, you got to be able to have one, man, and for people to listen to you. And I was like, so somebody's record, you know, gives them the right to speak on something? Like, man, that don't even sound right. Like, that sounds, it's actually backwards, right? Like, who you are is who you are, right?
Oh, definitely.
And that record, you know, like, man, look, man, like I said before, man, we 1 in 28, man, but 1 in 28 don't matter. I'm still a black man living in America, right? With black, young black men who are looking at me to be the example every day, you know? Like, I even share this, like, you know, like we talked about, like the thing I love about even just our group that we have here now is, we're, you know, we got guys like Tanner Smith, who's from here. And Tanner just calling to say, hey, coach, man, like, talk to me about this. Let's have this conversation, right? Like, come on, man, let's do it. Which sparks another conversation, which ultimately ends up leading to him understanding me understanding him. Had the same conversation with Brian Bohannon. Great conversation. And the thing I love about Bo, he's just like, man, look, I don't even know where to start, is what he said. I don't even know where to start. Man, look, you ain't this, boom. And we had a conversation. Keith Shunza, our volleyball coach, Agnes Bernardo, our women's basketball coach. We had these conversations one-on-one. I don't think it was them trying to, you know, do like brown nose. And no, like, they really wanted to understand why. Because they have kids of black kids or kids of color on their team. And they don't know where to start, because why? They hadn't lived with those kids live, right? So I just think, man, it's really important for us to understand, it's like you said, it's not a I mean, I'm sorry, it's not, it is, it's not a, it's a right versus wrong thing. It's not a white versus black thing, right? Because oppression can come in many shapes and in many colors and from any angle you can think about. You know, we gotta push this conversation forward, you know, so, you know, these, the generation that we're talking about now, but I got two little girls, man, four and about to be two. Like, I don't want them to have this conversation. I want people to love them and respect them for who they are.
Oh, definitely. Like I said, I told, I said this on my show last week. My politics are for the people. I'm not right and left. I'm right and wrong and for the people. If you're for the people, yep. I'm for you. If you're for the right, I'm for you. If you're equality, I'm for you, because it's about people. It's not about right, left, blue, red. It's about people. Because it's been co-opted to become a competition. But honestly, it's about people. And that's what I wanted this to be about, is people that's coming together and black people being treated equal. As the Constitution said, everybody's treated equal. But we ain't been treated equal the whole time. Live up to what you say on paper. You know, that's what I want to happen for us all.
Yeah, no doubt. No question about it. And it's like, you know, it's like, it's amazing, man. Like, I coached a kid at Texas A&M. I'll tell you just this quick story. I coached a kid at Texas A&M, right? 6'10", curly hair, you know, a little bit darker than me, right? He was from Columbia, the country, not like Columbia, South Carolina. He was actually from Columbia, Cartagena, Columbia, right? But you know what he was looked at as in America? Black man, right? So just helping him understand, teaching him, you know, just little things like, hey, man, you know, look, you get pulled over, all right, by the cops, okay? Like, man, this is what you need to do. You know, hey, when you get in your car, man, put your wallet in your, like, on top of your center console, have your registration and your insurance, man, above your visor, put it somewhere where you don't got to open something up. Don't give nobody no opportunity to have to guess what you're doing, right? Like, the fact that we have to do that, right, to keep them alive and to help them understand, hey, this is the protocol. Hey, man, hey, it's nighttime, man, roll all them windows down, man, so they can see everything they need to see in that car, right? Like, so I just think it's one of those things where, you know, equality, again, it's not a black and white thing. Equality is it's a human thing, yes, you know, indeed. Like, it is a human thing. Again, I'm going to go back to this Coaches for Change. It's the thing I love about it. You know, the fact that we were able to, the fact that there were just as many women coaches that wanted to be a part of it as men coaches, right? Like, I'm not saying this to brown nose or to gas nobody up, but like, man, the ideas and the thinking of a woman is so much stronger than the ideas and the thinking of a man, right? Like, because they can think soundly, right? Like, I know me, like, I'm like looking over here and I'm looking over here trying to figure out, you know, all right, man, what's going, but no, like my wife, she'll, you know, hey, let's think about it like this. And I sit there for a second, boss man, I'm like, man, you know what? It's good point, right? So, but just like black people hadn't had a whole lot of equality in this country, women had a whole lot
of definitely country,
right? So I don't like we talked about when we first got together, Carmen, I was like, look, man, like, we're talking about right now, like, it's no inclusion, it's like this deal with Coaches for Change, like, we got to have inclusion, you know, from everybody. And the thing I loved about it, again, everybody was like, no question, it wasn't about who gets the credit. Right. I'm sure when you talk to Carm, he wasn't like, I.
He wasn't.
Right. Right. Like, I'm telling you, that's why I think the dude is really good, man. Like, he's really good. That's why this Coaches for Change piece, I mean, I think it can be a game changer. I mean, you talking about from Georgia to New York to Vermont to California, it covers the entire country. Right. And think about how many students. I think it's something. I think we almost got every conference in the country between men's and women's covered. Like, man, you're talking about creating real change now, right? So we just got to continue to do our part, push it forward, understand the platform we had, like you said, and in a sense, keep the main thing, you know, like, let's make sure these kids are educated on, you know, everything they need to be in order to make sound decisions and have really good judgment.
Coach, you know, I'm going to keep fighting the fight for you, man. If you need me to help you all in any kind of way, Coaches for Change or at Kennesaw State, come talk to your players, man. I'll do it because which takes a lot, all of us to come together to make this change, Coach. No, and I know together we all can get accomplish the same goal and get this thing and go in the right direction, finally get over the goal line for and get the right score for us, get it where we all on the same page, hopefully, Coach.
Absolutely, man. We're going to keep doing it. And again, like I said, man, it's about people. You know, keep putting good people around us, man, and we keep being good people, you know, and fighting a good fight, man, where it's going to get to where it needs to get to. Because, again, like I said, man, we got a generation, man. They got good energy, man. They're about that action. So we just got to do our parts by, you know, pushing and helping them push their voices forward and using it for good.
Well, there were Coach Amir. Thank you for your time today, my brother. This has been great to have a conversation with you, man. Hope to see you real soon, man, and come up there and catch you guys, man, in action, man.
Man, come check us out, man. Come check us out.
All right, Coach, you be good, brother. I'll talk to you real soon, man.
All right, dog. Be good, man. We'll be right back.